and tonight. Today's high, just about 32 degrees, a low tonight down to just about 14. And then for Thanksgiving, we get some sunshine, but it'll be cold. So 24 for a high and a low down to 14 degrees. On Friday, some sunshine with a high of 38, a chance of snow showers, maybe some freezing rain overnight from Friday night into Saturday, but then it turns into rain on Saturday. So Friday's high about 38. We get into the 40s on Saturday. We're currently at 32 degrees right now in downtown Butler. I'm Tracy Morgan in the Next Tier Bank studios. Next Tier Bank, your hometown community bank. Your news time is just about 12:30. Happy Thanksgiving early to you and your family. Dave Malarkey's up next with It's Your Turn. Thanks for joining us and have a good day.
And now, It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's Your Turn. Weekdays from 12:30 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's Your Turn. 724-283-2525. And now, It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Thanksgiving Eve edition of It's Your Turn. Nobody ever says that, right? We say Christmas Eve. We say New Year's Eve, right? Day before Christmas, day before New Year's, New Year's Eve, Christmas Eve. Well, this is Thanksgiving Eve, day before Thanksgiving, yeah. And now that we're into the early afternoon, the holiday period really seems to be underway, doesn't it? I noticed for the last few hours, I had to catch myself a couple of times thinking it was Friday, because it kind of feels like Friday, like a Friday afternoon. Do you have a long weekend coming up? Well, if you do, God bless you, you know. A lot of folks will either have Friday off or take Friday off as a vacation day to make it a super-duper long weekend. Open talk to begin the program. We've got guests later. We're going to be talking about an interesting subject, parenting an adolescent. A lot of parents are faced with a stark reality when suddenly their little boy or their little girl reaches adolescence or even pre-adolescence. You know, we're talking 9, 10 years old, that age. It's a rough time for a lot of parents. We'll talk about that with a guest, Carl Picard, Dr. Carl Picard. He'll be visiting with us later on the program. Carl Picard. Also on the program later on today, should the Bible be taught as literature in public schools? The Bible as literature. Our guest later on the program, Chuck Stetson, thinks that it should be. And we'll also talk with a world traveler later on the program today. Get some travel tips maybe as we head into the holiday season, or maybe you're making travel plans for next year already. His name is Lee Abamonte. He is a world traveler, a writer. He is believed to be the youngest person to ever visit every single country in the world. Wow. How many? That's 100 and how many countries are 180? Something like that? My goodness. Lee Abamonte. He'll be with us a little bit later on the program today. But first of all, it's Open Talk, 283-2525 here on a Wednesday. What are you thankful for? I'd like to open up the phone lines and have people share some thoughts on that. What are you thankful for today? 283-2525. I'm sure a lot of folks are thankful that their power's back on. Yeah. Quite a stretch. If your power was out for an hour or two, and I know some people that's all they had, an hour or two last Thursday night. I know other people who just got their power back today. It's a week, almost a week later. That is a long time to go. And number one, without electricity and without heat. Without heat. And it was chilly. Generally speaking, our temperatures were in the low end of the 30s. In fact, overnight and during the day, it was pretty boring temperature-wise over the past week. But that was good for those people who didn't have heat. I mean, it was still cold, you know. 33 degrees is 33 degrees. You know, meat is not going to spoil at that temperature. It's cold. But can you imagine what tonight, for example? Supposed to go down to 14 above overnight tonight. And tomorrow night into Friday, once again, 14 above zero. If we'd had those kind of temperatures with everybody, you know, without heat, then we'd have had problems with pipes freezing and everything else. So we can be thankful for that, right? And for the majority of you that now have your power back, I know it may have been a day or two. For many, it was 3, 4, 5 days. But you can be thankful that your power is back. What are you thankful for as we head into Thanksgiving? 283-2525. This doesn't have to be any great essay or anything like that. Just a thought. What are you thankful for? Thankful for family, I think a lot of people would be, right? Thankful for family. This is as much a family holiday as any. Christmas, yeah, you know, families gather for Christmas, but got a lot of other trappings with Christmas time, you know. Gifts and Christmas cards and everything else. Thanksgiving, time to sit back, take it easy, you know. Help with the dinner, maybe, but otherwise take it easy and be thankful. What are you thankful for? Let's get some thoughts. 283-2525, our number. Hi there, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Hey, Dave, I'll bet you Amish people are really laughing at everybody else with their power off.
You know,
that's just a norm for them, huh?
Never thought
about
that.
They get by and survive and do just fine.
Yeah, I never thought about that. That's very interesting. Yeah, not all of them go without electricity.
But a lot of them do.
Many do, yes. You're correct. Yeah.
Yeah, and the work that they get done, they don't power tools, whatever. Mm-hmm. They seem to get by.
They do
milking their cows and doing whatever, huh? And they're farming.
They do have heat though, and that's one thing. So many people that I talked to over the past several days, you know, losing electricity was one thing, but losing heat, that was really brutal, you know.
Yeah, we were really fortunate there that it stayed above freezing though.
Mm-hmm.
The way the houses are today, I talked to different people, and in three and four days, they only lost a few degrees.
Boy, lucky them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was your power off for any length of time?
My daughter was right next to me, and hers was off for half a day, and I never lost power or telephone.
Oh, my goodness gracious. You can...
quite a connection area.
You have something to be thankful for, let me tell you.
I know that.
Let me tell you. Yeah.
Okay, I'll let you go.
Thanks, my friend. Thank you. 283-2525, our number. What are you thankful for this Thanksgiving holiday? 283-2525. Thankful for family? I hope so. Most of us would be. Maybe thankful for family that aren't here anymore, you know? If your mother and father have died, have passed away, you can still be very thankful that you had them for as long as you did and that they shaped you and helped you to grow. I hope you're thankful for that. Gosh, I hope so. Yeah. And thankful for the family that you still have with you, whether it's siblings or parents or grandparents, if you're really lucky. Yeah. Or aunts and uncles and cousins. And where would we be without them, huh? Yeah, I know a lot of folks around here have been through troubles and travails over the last week with the power outage, but, we had a family up in the North Washington area whose house burned down because of the power outage. They lost absolutely everything, including their pet dog. Fortunately, all six members of the family are okay. Two adults, four boys. but how about that situation? Losing everything. There is an online GoFundMe account to try to help the Waugaman family. The Waugaman's up in Washington Township, their house right along Route 38. There's a GoFundMe account online, and they're also collecting clothing for the four boys, ages 5, 7, 11, and 13. So if you can see your way clear to help them out, gosh, think about that. Losing your house and all your belongings a couple of days before Thanksgiving. And how about the people out in California with the raging wildfires out there, which seem to be dying down a little bit? They haven't been in the news as much. They're still not out. Whole towns have been destroyed out there. The latest death toll that I heard this morning on CBS radio here on WISR was 80-some. 80-some people dead, burned. You know, many of them burned in their cars as they got in and tried to get away. Yeah. I've never been in a wildfire situation. I've seen some brush fires that are starting to get out of control, but those raging wildfires like out in California. Never been there. I have been close to building fires. Have you? Those of you who are volunteer firefighters, you know what I'm talking about. Most people have probably not been up close and personal to a large building fire. It is very, very scary. The heat, the noise, the raw energy of the flames, it's really, it's very disturbing. I've been up close to fires a few times. I'm talking about big fires now. Schools, churches, I was up next to a church fire one time. It was just very, very scary. So we say a prayer for those folks out in California. Many of whom have not only lost their homes, but their relatives. And whole towns have been. What is it? The town of Paradise, California? Totally burned. What irony with the name, huh? Paradise. No longer. No longer Paradise. No longer even there. Wiped out. So we can be thankful for that, and we say a prayer for them. Thanksgiving. I don't know, are schools in session today or not? Does anybody know? I know some have started Thanksgiving vacation already. Others have not. Most all schools will be, certainly everybody will be off tomorrow and Friday. Most schools nowadays are off on Monday, too. It's first day of deer season, number one. I know when I was in elementary school and junior high school, that was a holiday because so many students had went hunting that it was senseless to try to hold school on the first day of deer season. So we didn't, you know, it was a day off. It was not the case when I got into high school, but for earlier grades it was. And for, I think most schools now just extend the Thanksgiving holiday through Monday. So it's a nice break, and you know, when you think about it, really, it's the longest holiday weekend of the year, right? Yes, it is, because, you know, you think Memorial Day, which is always on a Monday, okay, that's a nice three-day holiday. Labor Day is always on a Monday. But Thanksgiving is always on a Thursday. So you got your Thursday, your Friday, your Saturday, your Sunday, and then, if you can see your way clear, and many hunters do just that, they'll take a day off on Monday, too, for the first day of deer season. Yeah. So it's a super long holiday weekend. Be safe on the highways if you're going to be traveling. Be sober on the highways if you're going to be traveling. Pennsylvania State Police, Troop D Butler Barracks, announced yesterday they're going to have extra patrols on the road. Both stationary and also moving DUI patrols, driving under the influence patrols. where they'll suddenly set up shop along the highway and they'll stop everybody, at least temporarily, checking for DUI. That starts today, by the way, the extra patrols, and it goes through Sunday. Tonight is one of the worst nights of the year for drunk driving, driving impaired. A lot of people, once the workday is over on Thanksgiving Eve, they'll head out partying. A lot of college students, all college students, are home for the holiday period, and they kind of let it go on Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve. So it's a bad night to be out driving for in terms of DUI, impaired drivers. Police know that. That's why they're starting the sobriety patrols tonight. So be careful of that. And be careful any time that you're driving. The two worst times for driving this holiday weekend are today, and then again Sunday afternoon and evening. From Sunday, the AAA says from noontime on Sunday up until about 10 o'clock Sunday night is the next worst period, because that's that's when most people are going home, obviously. Yeah. Airports. I've never flown during a winter holiday, Thanksgiving or Christmas or New Year's. But we checked with Pittsburgh International this morning, 5 o'clock this morning. They had long lines already at the security checkpoints at Pittsburgh International. 5 a.m. Yeah. I think that would be a nightmare, trying to fly over Thanksgiving or Christmas. What are you thankful for today? 283-2525 is our number, 283-2525. Hi there, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hey, Dave.
Howdy.
Did lose my power, but one thing I'm grateful for is all the linemen that came to Butler County. I guess there was up to 500, 700 linemen from all around the country.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah.
And
they were giving up their time, getting ready for the holiday to come here. I drove past the new hotel downtown Butler, the Spring Hill Suites by Marriott. It was entirely surrounded the last 2 days by power trucks, by bucket trucks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not kidding you. 15, 20 of them completely
surrounded. I saw a lot of convoys last couple of days, and I felt like I should just applaud them as they're driving by.
Yeah, absolutely. Doing the best they could with, we had 46,000 people, homes, out of power last week, late last week. 46,000. It's unbelievable.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I wonder about is how they figure out the accounting, like, because these guys are got to be getting paid overtime.
Yes.
They work for other companies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they figure that out, but I think it was a moving thing to see all these people come together.
It was. I saw Penelec, West Penn Power, Penn Line. It got to the point where I would start looking at the wording on the side of the trucks as they would go by to see where they were from and how far they'd come to help us out here.
Well, a friend of mine lost power, and the people that restored it, they were from South Carolina.
Wow. Wow. Hey, you really, that's terrific. I'm so glad you brought that up. Let's be thankful for those people that came so far to help us get our power back. Good point.
All right, Dave. Have a good holiday.
You too, my friend. Thanks. Bye-bye. 283-2525, our number. What are you thankful for today? 283-2525.
I'm just calling in.
Yes, go ahead. Go right ahead.
Yes, I'm just calling in for the same thing he did. We have to be so happy with the help that they have all given us in helping us get our power back going, because mine was off for a little over 2 days. So
2 days. Well, yes. I hate to tell you this, but
some were five.
Yeah, you were lucky. It was only 2 days.
I was one of the first of my children. No one did. They didn't get theirs when I did. So.
What part of the territory do you live in?
I'm in Summit. Summit Township. Yes, and
yeah.
They're in different ones around here, but they were late getting theirs back.
Yeah. Well, I hope the significant portion of those people are able to get back home in time for a Thanksgiving dinner with their families.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. But we must praise him for how they've helped us all.
Amen to that. I agree with you.
Yes, yes, yes. So that's all I was calling about.
Well, happy Thanksgiving.
So happy they're helping us.
Happy Thanksgiving, my friend. Thank you.
Oh, thanks. Same to you, too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Have a good one. And bye-bye.
283-2525, our number. What are you thankful for today? Hi, caller. This is Dave. Thanks for waiting. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
I think we should all be very thankful that we are keeping Thanksgiving as a religious holiday, more or less, you know, because that's the way it started out in our country, and it's it gives us a chance to be thankful for many, many, many things.
It's a good point. I'm sure when you said religious holiday, a lot of folks
said...
Well,
a Christian holiday, or at least remember God in the activities that we do.
No, I was going to agree with you. I mean, it might not be a formal religious holiday, such as Easter or Christmas or Hanukkah, but informally, you're absolutely correct. The pilgrims and the Puritans celebrated the first Thanksgiving to thank God that they were still alive, you know.
Yes, that's true. And, I mean, you know, they go to Black Friday and things like that, and it for some people it disturbs the holiday. Other people just keep it as a holiday. They refuse to do the Black Friday thing and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's great that we're thankful. We were out without electricity for like four and a half days, and it really makes you appreciate water, heat, and light.
Yeah, the only time that I can remember anything, and it wasn't this bad, about 7 or 8 years ago, I don't remember the exact year, we had a horrific windstorm rolled through Butler County, and it knocked out power for some people.
Time we were out of it for well over a week.
Yeah, it was a very strange storm. I can remember it was early September. I don't remember the exact date, and we had a picnic that day. Our church choir had a picnic, and it kept looking like it was going to storm. You know how it would get darker. And the sky looked kind of ominous, and we decided to pack up the potato salad and hit the road. It never did rain, but the wind was ferocious. We had these terrible windstorms that knocked out power. But it wasn't as bad as it was last Thursday night, I'll tell you that.
No.
Not with all those trees. There's still trees and branches laying all over the place.
There still is, and I've noticed around in Penn Township, a lot of the trees still have the leaves on. They still haven't come off, even with some of the wind.
Mm-hmm. Which was part of the problem, by the way, the fact that the leaves held the wet snow and the ice, and that made made it all the heavier, and that's why so many of them came down.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Listen, have a good
to you
holiday,
and to everyone,
and same to you. Thank you very much. 283-2525, our number. It's Open Talk. What are you thankful for this Thanksgiving? 283-2525. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave. This is Cheryl Hilliard. I want to be thankful. Especially, I know you very well, Dave, from Cozy Corner. I want to thank you for, and I would like to thank having my brother Dale Lumley as a very special brother in my life. I love him to death and back.
Well, that's nice.
And I would like to be thankful for, I'm a CNA, David, and I do very special work in homes and that, and I had many patients, and I lost many of my patients throughout the years, but a special guy came into my life 2 years ago. He is a very special guy. He has many needs and that. He gets around in Butler. I will leave the names off the air for the special family I work for very Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to give a many thanks to Penny's Bakery for all the good bakery goods I delivered to hockey games. And I have my season order. I'm going to the Pens game tonight, David. And I am a hockey crazy fan.
You have tickets for the Penguin game tonight, huh?
Oh, I have them. I go to every game, David.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
So I am dedicated, and I would like to say thankful for my family that I work with, the special people that brought joy in my life, and the Cummings that have been my family for many years, and Penny's Bakery. Thank you for all having me every day. You see me every day, and I'm such a walker downtown Butler. Thank you, Dave, and enjoy yourself and have a blessed holiday.
And you too.
I do go to St. Paul's, Dave. I belong to St. Mary's, but I do go to St. Paul's.
Okay. Thank you, my friend. Good to talk with you today.
Thank you. Take care, David. Have a blessed holiday.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye. The Cozy Corner. That's a long time ago now. That was a, what's the most accurate way to describe it? It was a mom-and-pop grocery store, convenience store, up on Institute Hill in the city of Butler. I used to live in that area. Pretty much those of us who lived around that was a regular daily stop, yeah, with Randy and his family who ran the Cozy Corner. It's not there anymore. It hasn't been for a long, long time. In fact, the old-time friendly mom-and-pop convenience stores, most of them have gone by the wayside now, haven't they? Yeah. Yeah, we got the big chains now. But, you know, that's fine. They're good. Not knocking it. But it is kind of sad to see the old neighborhood convenience stores go by the wayside. Yeah. It is, yeah. Now we got the Get-Go and the Sheets and the Kogos. Are there still Kogos? I don't think, no. That was one of the first big chains, Kogo. And 7-Eleven, do we still have 7-Elevens? Are they still around? I don't know, I haven't seen the 7-Eleven in a long time. Maybe they are. The dominant chains around here now, though, are the Sheets and the Get-Go. And the Cozy Corners of the world? Yeah, pretty much gone. Good memories, though. 283-2525, 283-2525. Hi, caller. This is Dave. What are you thankful for this Thanksgiving holiday?
Well, we ought to be thankful for Abraham Lincoln, who came up with this holiday.
Well, you're absolutely correct. Did you know that? Well, you could say the Pilgrims came up with it, but it was formalized as a regular governmental holiday by, I do believe it was Abraham Lincoln. Although it has changed since his day.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be the last Thursday in November, and now it's the fourth. Which is sometimes different. This is one of those years when it would have been different. If Thanksgiving was still the last Thursday, it wouldn't be until next week.
Yep. We're going back in history.
That changed. It was in the 1930s that most recent change came into effect, of course.
Yeah.
That's 90 years ago. I guess you're right.
Okay. Happy Thanksgiving, Dave.
By the way, are you a Lincoln fan? Do you read about Lincoln? Are you familiar with Abe Lincoln?
Yes, I have the Civil War tapes, VHS.
You will be very interested in our program coming up on Monday. This coming Monday. Okay. It's a book talk day, which we do at the end of every month. And it's a fabulous book we're going to be talking about. I just finished reading it. It's called Lincoln's Last Trial. It's really good.
I've seen, I guess there was a movie.
Well, this is pretty new. It was only published this year by Dan Abrams as a TV reporter, legal analyst for ABC. But most historians kind of just gloss over Abraham Lincoln's career as an attorney. He was a highly successful lawyer for 2 decades, 20 years, before he, decided to run for president and public office. He was a very successful lawyer, and he did murder cases, some 27 murder cases, including this last one, which is pretty sensational. So that's what we'll be talking about on Monday. I hope you can be with us.
Okay. Happy Thanksgiving, Dave.
Okay, you too. So long.
Bye.
By the way, Michelle Ferrero, who's on staff at the Mars Area Public Library, selected this book, and I'm so grateful that she did. That's something I'm thankful for. We've been talking with Cheryl once a year, sometimes depending on how the calendar falls. We'll be with her twice a year on Book Talk because, we rotate through the various public libraries in the county. She's down at Mars. But she selected this book. As I said, it's fairly new. It was published earlier this year. I don't know, spring of 18. And I must admit, I didn't know anything about Lincoln's career as an attorney for 20 years in Springfield, Illinois. That's where he practiced most of the time. State capital, by the way, of Illinois. But in fact, he was instrumental in moving the state capital to Springfield from another city where it was originally, not Chicago, another city. But it's a good book. As I said, I just finished it. We'll talk about it with Cheryl on Monday, 12:30 to 1:30 on Book Talk. So if you're a Lincoln fan, or even if you're just interested, not necessarily, and I would fall in that category. I'm not particularly well-read about the Civil War or Abraham Lincoln. I mean, you know, I know the basic stuff, but very, very interesting book. Very, very, very interesting. And true, too, by the way. It's not a novel. It's a true account. Lincoln's Last Trial. Monday on the It's Your Turn program. Got to stop and think again. It's only Wednesday. Yeah. It seems like Friday, doesn't it? Seems like it. It's open talk at 283-2525 for another brief period. And then we'll be chatting with our initial guest on the program today. Do want to remind you that coming up, we have the Spirit of Christmas Parade. And, you know, once you get to Thanksgiving, folks, everything is fast and furious. Man, it's a bada-boom, bada-boom, bada-boom. Well, look how quickly it here it is Thanksgiving. Doesn't it just seem like yesterday that we were celebrating Veterans Day, and the Veterans Day Parade, and you blink your eye, and it's Thanksgiving. And you blink again, and it's going to be Hanukkah and Christmas. Hanukkah's very early this year, by the way. December 2nd, I believe. Don't have my calendar in front of me. I believe it's December 2nd this year. And then Christmas, of course, on the 25th, and then New Year's, and a lot of stuff happening. Well, the 54th Annual Spirit of Christmas Parade, sponsored by the Butler Radio Network and XTO Energy, in conjunction with Peoples, your hometown natural gas company. We have some other sponsors, too, who help to make it all possible. And they include Applewood Chiropractic, also IDL Worldwide, McDonald's Restaurants, Shaner Automotive, and the local law firm of Dillon McCandless King Coulter and Graham. Everybody pitching in to help make this parade a success. And when the Butler Radio Network, when we took over presenting this parade, we moved it to nighttime. It was great. It used to be Friday after Thanksgiving. You remember that? For many, many years, for decades, actually. It was the Friday after Thanksgiving. And I can remember it well because when our WISR studios used to be on Main Street, the parade went right by. And we would always broadcast the parade on the Friday morning after Thanksgiving. Everybody had a little bit of a turkey hangover on Friday morning, but the parade was good. Well, we decided, not me, but our management here at the Butler Radio Network, when we took over organizing and presenting the parade, we decided to move it to nighttime and have all the floats lit up. And that's one of the requirements now for people who are entering a float, that it has to be lit. And man, if you haven't been downtown for the parade, now that it's shifted to nighttime, you don't know what you're missing. It's absolutely fantastic to see these float after float after float coming down Main Street all lit up. Very nice. Now, the parade starts, it's not Friday anymore either, by the way. It's Saturday, so it's this Saturday. And it starts at 5:30, and there's a good reason for that, because the sun goes down this time of year just before 5 o'clock. And so just after 5 o'clock, it's dark enough for the floats to show up with all their brightly colored lights. So 5:30 is parade time. downtown Butler. It is supposed to warm up a little bit by then. We hope so. Supposed to be bitterly cold, by the way, tonight, tomorrow, and maybe even at the start of the day on Friday. But we should be back up in the mid-40s, that's the prediction anyway, by Saturday. In fact, that'll be the warmest temperature we've had in a week and a half because we've been mired in the low 30s. But anyway, temperatures will be okay. Downtown Butler, Main Street, 5:30 Saturday evening for the parade. Now, there are activities before the parade during the day as well downtown. There's Christmas Candyland at the YMCA. That's from noon to 4. Free children's activities there, including face painting, holiday-themed games for the kids, reindeer ornament craft, life-size Candyland game where the kids hop around. Remember the Tom Hanks movie where he played the piano? What was the name of that? What was it? Big. Is that it? Big. Where he played the piano with his feet? Well, we don't have one of those pianos that you play with your feet, but it's a life-size Candyland game for the kids where they can actually move around the board themselves instead of using a game piece. Kind of fun for the kids. All of this presented by XTO Energy, and this is at the YMCA. And that's, again, from noon to 4. Noon to 4, free for the kids. What else is happening? We've got at the Butler City Fire Station from noon to 4, warm up and enjoy free hot cocoa. That's at the fire station downtown. Stop in. Have a cup of cocoa. Firefighters will be there. Then there's the People's Hometown Natural Gas Company skating rink. This is a synthetic skating rink in their Main Street parking lot. You know where that is, right behind the library there on Main Street. And that's from noon to 5. Skating is free in 15-minute sessions. Have you tried this, Pat Parker? I haven't either. I've seen them. They set up the synthetic skating rink, and it's not ice, but it's like ice, okay? When you got skates on, you can skate on just like it's on ice. Don't have any ice chips, though. You can't do any of that, you know. Spray ice chips on the goalie. But that's kind of nice. And skating is free. My goodness. That's on Saturday. That's from noon to 5. There's a giant snow globe. You can step inside the oversized snow globe for a fun photo opportunity. You can take a selfie with Alfie and friends in the Main Street parking lot. Turkey Hill ice cream samples will be available while supplies last. Turkey Hill, it's good ice cream. Turkey Hill is, yeah. All of this happening in downtown Butler on Saturday, this Saturday. And then we top it off with a big parade starting at 5:30. So we hope to see you. We'll all be down there from the radio stations having fun. And we look forward to it. Saturday is also Shop Small Saturday. So don't forget our local merchants. When you're downtown, stop in. Yeah, they'll all be open. Many of them extended hours. The shops and the restaurants downtown. So do a little Christmas shopping. And then enjoy all the fun activities for yourself and the kids. And then stick around for the parade. Okay, we have to take a break here because when we come back, we're going to be chatting with our first guest today. His name is Carl Pickard. And we'll be talking about parenting adolescent kids. It's a rough time. It's a rough time for adolescents. It's a rough time for parents, too. That's coming up next on the It's Your Turn program here on WISR. Thanks for being with us on this Thanksgiving Eve. We will be right back.
Hop the bus. Leave the driving up to us. We're going your way.
Butler Transit now provides weekday transportation to and from Pittsburgh for just $5 one way. No worrying about traffic or expensive parking fees. Free Wi-Fi is also available. Park at a convenient park and ride or hop on the bus at the downtown bus terminal. Senior 65 and up, ride free with a senior pass. For more information, visit butlertransit.com.
Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us. We're going your way.
Looking for a way to make your company's benefit package a little more competitive? Here's one that's so easy, more than 130 local organizations and businesses have added it to their programs. Membership in Armco Credit Union. At Armco Credit Union, your employees will have access to the best loan rates and more free banking services, while direct deposit and payroll deduction options make it convenient for both of you. And best of all, it doesn't cost you a thing. Learn more at armcocu.com or by calling 284-2020. Armco Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender and is insured by NCUA.
Coming up on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR, listeners, my name is Dave Malarkey. Our guest is Carl Pickard, and we're talking about Who Stole My Child? It's a new book by Dr. Pickard, Parenting Through the Four Stages of Adolescence. Dr. Pickard, nice to have you with us here today. Nice to
talk
to you, sir.
Hey, yeah, it's good to be with you.
Adolescence, especially for parents who are seeing their first child come into adolescence, it is a rough time for parents, is it not, Doctor?
Well, it doesn't have to. I mean, people are not destined to go through agony with their adolescent. I mean, that would be important to understand. I don't know. To me, from what I've seen, about a third of kids go through adolescent change without much of a ripple in the family, and those are the easy ones. And then there are those kids who are the average ones who occasionally bump up against the family structure, but that's quickly resolved. And then there's a final third that sometimes gets stuck, and those are the kind that come into counseling sometimes. But you definitely have to expect that there will be changes that you have to adjust to, and this is no longer just a little child. I mean, that's what begins adolescence, is a separation from childhood. The kid in either words or actions letting parents know, I no longer want to be defined and treated as just a little child anymore.
And thus your title, right? Who Stole My Child?
Right, Who Stole My... Yeah, that was... A parent said that to me one time, and it always stuck. I thought it was a great statement, because it... I mean, that's the... I mean, she was... What she was articulating was the true loss that she was experiencing. She was never going to have her adoring and adorable little child again. That wonderful period in their relationship was over. And the kid was really in the same place, because they were never going to have their perfectly wonderful parent again. But, I mean, at least, I'm biased, but I think adolescence is just as magical as childhood is. It's just a different stage. I mean, what is more magical than seeing a little girl grow into a young woman, or a little boy grow into a young man, and being part of that process? So it's exciting, I think.
So why did you write Who Stole My Child? Do you think that many parents are more prepared to have a child than an adolescent, perhaps?
Well, I think so. I think they norm their expectations on what they got used to in childhood, and they don't know exactly what changes to expect, and then the problem is they get caught by surprise, and in a state of surprise, they can lose their emotional sobriety and start thinking with their feelings, and sometimes overreact and make a hard situation worse. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to say, look, let me just lay out for you four stages of adolescent change. And these are, and in each stage, there are certain kinds of issues that are likely to occur. And if you know that, then what you can do is you can keep up with your child by staying ahead of the growth curve by factoring in these expectations. So when, for example, I don't know, in middle school, you know that there can be more social cruelty among kids, and more teasing and rumoring and bullying and ganging up and that kind of thing. You know, should they occur, it's not that you wanted it to happen, but at least you know that it could happen, and so you're better situated to give the kid the kind of reasonable support that she or he needs.
A little bit about our guest, listeners, so that you will understand that he knows of what he speaks. Carl Pickard, for over 30 years, has been a psychologist in private counseling and public lecturing practice down in Texas. So he's been talking about this for a while. Let's talk a little bit about the structure of your book. You really kind of take parents through the ages. Part one, Doctor, is how adolescence marks the end of childhood. And this would be up to, what, about ages 8, 9, something like that?
Yeah, somewhere around that, yeah. Usually at that point, the the old definition starts falling away for the kid, and it no longer fits their growing needs, and so they start becoming more restless. You get a wonderful thing that happens at that age, which is you get these kids who are wonderfully ambivalent. You know, they want to grow up, but the problem is growing up means giving up, and they don't want to give up childhood. You know, they just want to grow ahead, and so on the one hand, they're clinging to old belongings and activities in childhood that were so powerful for them. On the other hand, you know, they're reaching forward, and, you know, they need to be free of those things to make their way, and so, you know, parents get these wonderful double messages, you know, leave me alone, you know, you never want me around, you know, do it for me, I can do it myself, and parents are thinking, well, which way does the kid want it? Well, the kid wants it both ways for a while because they're torn.
Well, that would definitely mark a change in the relationship then between parent and child, right, when they hit this stage.
Yes, I think that's part of the message that I wanted to help parents understand. Adolescence is not just a change that happens in the child on their way to adulthood. The child changes, the parent changes in response, and the relationship between them changes. What happens is as the kid from childhood and parents, on the one hand for more independence, on the other hand for more individuality, all of a sudden, you know, you start getting more separation in the relationship than there was. And that's the role of adolescence, is the challenge of parenting in adolescence is how do we keep caringly and communicatively connected to this growing, changing child as adolescence grows us apart, which is what it's meant to do.
The next segment of your book, Doctor, is part two, early adolescence, and you consider that somewhere between ages 9 to 13, and this whole separation
right.
process really starts to grow then during those years, does it not?
Yeah, you tend to get more, you start getting more active and passive resistance, more argument, and more delay. You start getting very often much more of a negative attitude. Part of that negative attitude is more boredom. A kid doesn't exactly know what to do with himself in this new stage, and so they're floundering a little bit, and they're more restless. And then you get more experimentation with, you know, interesting and more older kinds of information and activities. So it's a more restless age, and now the kid that seemed to be, you know, very compliant in childhood tends to become a little more resistant now that they're entering adolescence.
What about study habits during your early adolescence, ages 9 to 13?
Well, I think what can happen is sometimes the focus, for example, on doing one's schoolwork and doing well and taking pride in that the elementary school child has can fall away in middle school when all of a sudden priorities change and now, you know, appearance and priority and popularity take precedence over performance, and that's why sometimes you get an early adolescent achievement drop where the kid kind of disengages from academic effort. Sometimes the school or the teacher will say, and good-heartedly they say, well, look, just let your kid not do the homework, not study for the test and fail, and that will teach them, you know, to bear down. But I think from what I've seen, most of these kids don't have the maturity to learn from that kind of experience. So they adjust their expectations downward, and then they underachieve. So I think if you get a kid who all of a sudden academically disengages, parents have to get in there with their supervision to support the kid bringing the homework home, getting it done, turning it in, studying for tests, and so forth.
What about chores around the house? I know I've seen this in my family, younger kids, they're anxious to help in the kitchen, whether it's drying dishes
right.
or whatever. But then they reach early adolescence, and their attitude
right.
toward those household chores kind of changes, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. For the child, it's empowering. I'm doing something grown up, and that feels good. For the adolescents, it's an imposition. You know, why do I have to do work all of a sudden? You know, it gets a bad name. Chores are very, very important to do because they're household membership requirements, and they both are specifically helpful. And symbolically, they say that, look, you're going to be a functional member of this family, and you're going to make your unpaid for contributions just like everybody else, and when you do, you know, you get some more, you get increased ownership of the family as you do.
We'll take a quick break here. We have a bit more time to chat with our guest, Carl Pickard, author of Who Stole My Child? Parenting Through the Four Stages of Adolescence. We'll pick up our conversation right after these words.
It's that time of the year. Sniffles, coughing, chills, everything else that comes with cold and flu season. At Institute Hill Pharmacy, they want to get you feeling better as soon as possible. You'll have your prescription filled in minutes and be on your way to feeling better. Because who wants to be sick around the holidays? Stop by Institute Hill Pharmacy at 937 East Jefferson Street. Call 285-3693 or find them on Facebook. And don't forget, they have great 99-cent greeting cards, retailer gift cards, and seasonal gifts for the holidays. Institute Hill Pharmacy, and old-fashioned pharmacy just the way you remember.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. Welcome back. If you're just joining us on the It's Your Turn program here on WISR, my name is Dave Malarkey. Our guest visiting with us by telephone on this segment is Carl Pickard. Dr. Pickard is a veteran psychologist and has a private counseling and public lecturing practice in Austin, Texas. We're talking to him about his most recent book, Who Stole My Child? Parenting Through the Four Stages of Adolescence. We've talked about the growing separation, the end of childhood, and then the early adolescence, ages 9 to 13. Now we hit something that really starts to change things, Dr. Pickard, and that's puberty, right?
Well, yeah, puberty is definitely a game changer. Sometimes it coincides with the entry into adolescence. Often it does not. It comes, you know, later, so that the kid can enter adolescence before puberty has begun. But when puberty hits, and all of a sudden, you know, the growth to sexual maturity gets underway, that really intensifies the adolescent process, and parents have to be very, very careful that they maintain a truly tease-free home. There is no, you know, there's no teasing this kid about how they look or how they want to look, or how they're, you know, preoccupied with their looks, because this kid is just emotionally raw. They don't, you know, they know they're changing. They don't control it. They don't know how they're going to come out. They do know that there are very important social consequences attendant upon one's appearance, and now they get very, very physically self-preoccupied.
And this, and we're generalizing here, folks, because, you know, every child,
right,
every family is different, but this would be generally this stage, mid-adolescence, like age 13, 14, 15, doctor?
Right, yeah, I think so, right, yeah. Yeah, that's your proviso is important, because obviously every kid goes through it differently. You know, all I've tried to do is I just tried to organize, you know, observations over many years, and I kind of put them in these quote stages to kind of categorize where the kid is roughly at a certain, you know, age point in time.
Well, this is the age where many, I suppose most kids actually, they, you know, begin to have acne problems. They become more concerned about their appearance. It's just a rough time. It's a rough stage of life, isn't it?
Well, this is the age where they spend a huge amount of time getting ready to put in a public appearance. Sometimes you get some sad things. You get the kid who, you know, had this inspiration the night before about how it'd be really cool if they cut their hair, and, you know, and so they did, and then they wake up the next morning and they can't believe what they did to themselves, and now they've got to go to school, and what are people going to say? And the self-consciousness increases enormously, and that's why, you know, the power of social cruelty at this age you know, the teasing, exclusion, bullying, rumoring, ganging up kinds of behaviors that can occur as essentially developmentally insecure kids, you know, try to compensate by securing some kind of social standing. It just increases the jeopardy and vulnerability of everybody. And even if those behaviors don't happen to you, you see it happening to other people, so you know it could happen to you.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you know, you're desperate to have, you know, adequate social belonging in this new family of friends to secure you as you grow forward.
And from a parenting standpoint, parents often get frustrated. I've seen this in public where they're yelling at their kids in mid-adolescence. You can understand the frustration, but parents have to remember, boy, the kids at this age, 13, 14, 15, they're very vulnerable, are they not?
Right, they are, yeah. I think the thing, it can be helpful if parents remember that even though the kid says in this kind of brazen, defiant way with great bravado, "I don't care what you think of me," that is a lie. These kids want to shine in parental eyes. And if they look at the response that they're getting from parents, what they see is an image of themselves that they can, in fact, subscribe to. So if they are given a very powerful negative image from a frustrated parent, a lot of times they can incorporate that and they can injure themselves and their self-esteem accordingly. So you really, you know, it doesn't mean you don't take stands with your kid and, you know, hold firm on some things, but it does say that, you know, you try to keep this passage criticism free. And if you ever find that you are going to lose it as a parent, you're going to, you know, you think you might start yelling, and you might lose your emotional sobriety and start thinking with your feelings, what you need to do is you just need to declare a timeout and say, "Look, I'm getting, you know, more upset or more heated up than I would like. Let's take a break and then let's get back together in 10 minutes and keep talking about this because it's important." And what parents do then is that they model emotional self-management for the kids. So now the kid has permission to do the same thing. And it can be quite helpful, actually.
You devote a whole chapter in your book, Who Stole My Child? You devote a whole chapter, Dr. Pickard, to social cruelty at school. Now, for some of us who are older, baby boomers, you know, about the worst thing that happened in school was maybe a little gossip in the hallway or passing notes or something like that.
Right.
Whole different ball game today, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is, partly because we're raising, you know, you and I may have come up in one world, the offline world, but we're raising kids in two worlds, you know, the online world as well. And so now what happens is that, you know, negative treatment that way cannot just happen offline. It can happen online, where a lot of kids spend a great amount of their lifetime at this point. Almost it amplifies the treatment in some ways, in terms of, for example, the kind of rumors that are spread about somebody.
Yeah.
That's why you want to say to your kid, you know, if you ever find, you know, that people are saying things to you or about you or on the internet about you that are hurtful, let's talk about this so we can give you support and also maybe provide you some coaching about how to deal with it.
There are. I'm scratching the surface here, folks. I want to move along because there's a couple of other things I want to talk about in the time that we have with Carl Pickard. Late adolescence would be the next stage, and now we're talking about, generally speaking, ages 15, 16, 17, 18. Dating and romance become a bigger thing. You might have puppy love earlier, but that becomes a bigger issue in late adolescence.
Yeah, this is no longer, the age of crushes is more in middle school, I think. High school, you can start getting more romantic kinds of feelings in relationships. And now kids are really learning, you know, how to conduct themselves in a caring relationship. It's important for example, for parents to help the kid monitor, you know, how they treat the other person and how the other person treats them. Because this is going to be, the entry definition of a romantic and loving relationship that will carry forward. So you don't, if you see your kid either, you know, being mistreated or mistreating somebody, you know, in a caring but diplomatic way, you know, you need to be able to express your concern and say, you know, your relationship and how you conduct it is entirely up to you, but as your parent, just to let you know, it seems to me that, you know, you might have some concerns about these kinds of behaviors, and it's the behaviors you want to focus on, not generalities. You know, this, you know, you're always waiting. You know, you're putting your life on hold, waiting for this person to call you, and while you're doing so, you're deferring a lot of the rest of your life, and you might think whether that's really worthwhile you're doing all the time. You know, you're not criticizing the kid, but, you know, you are trying to give him some perspective on what is, you know, very, very complicated, which is a more caring relationship and how to manage it.
This is also a stage late adolescence where parents have to be concerned about risk-taking, and not just with dating and romance, but in many other areas, too.
Driving a car or substance use.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of, you know, there is a role, you know, for responsible worry at this point. Responsible worry is the parent essentially saying to the kid, look, I'm not saying that this is going to happen to you, but since you're going to be trying something out new you've never done before, I'd like you to take the time to think ahead and just ask yourself, you know, what if, and just suppose the two worry questions and see if, you know, take some predictive responsibility, because I think, you know, you have to think ahead, and then you need to think ahead if one of these things did happen to you, you know, what's your backup plan? Because you have kids in mid-adolescence, you know, very often embedded in now, and in late adolescence, you want them to be able to factor later into their decision-making.
You have a whole chapter on the Internet, which is certainly new for many parents who didn't grow up with it. All kids grow up with it now. There are a lot of dangers there. You also have a section in your book, Who Stole My Child, a section on what you call the age of trial independence. This would be from high school into higher education, early adulthood, I guess, right?
Right. Well, it's 18 to 23, a little after the college age years. And I think it's the hardest stage of all, because now these kids are stepping off more on their own, and they, you know, and in most cases they don't have all the functional independent skills to take responsible care of themselves, so they can do some slipping and sliding and getting in difficulty, and now they're living more away from home, they're vulnerable, you know, because they're surrounded by a group of peers who are also doing the same thing, and now the kid starts, you know, there's kind of be a self-esteem drop. The kid says, well, what's the matter with me? I can't take care of all my business, and I should be able to. And this is where I think, you know, parents have to adjust their role from being a manager of the kid to being a mentor for the kid, and just saying, look, what we would wish for you is to think of us as another head on your shoulders that's always available should you want our advice, or should you get into difficulty or having issues, because we can't tell you what to do, but we can at least, based on our experience, you know, give you some ideas. I mean, you are definitely responsible for choices you make, but on the same token, we've got longer lessons and some hard lessons from longer life experience that we can offer you. So you want to keep that connection going. You don't want to just, the kid leaves home and they say, that's it, goodbye. The kid really needs that home connection and advice.
Does it make a difference how many kids there are in the family? I have three siblings, so there were four of us at home. What about an only child, an only adolescent?
Well, only adolescent, generally speaking, only children are pretty well parented in the sense that they're well invested in. They've got good self-esteem. They're good about, you know, knowing how to spend rewarding time with themselves, and so they're not very susceptible to peer pressure because they're pretty self-dedicated. Where I think some of the problems can be is that when it comes to being good about how to manage conflict and how to handle cooperation, you know, these can be a little more complicated for the kid. A lot of times those are lessons that, you know, are learned later on, because the kid in the family, they didn't have any, you know, sharing or conflict issue with siblings growing up the way, you know, what you did or I did.
Our time begins to run short. There are other chapters in the book, other issues that can intensify adolescent development, one of which is parental divorce, and that happens in a lot of homes. There's a chapter devoted to that. Dr. Picard, right. who did you write this book for? Who's your target audience?
Well, the target audience, I think, is parents either of children who want to look ahead or parents of adolescents who are trying to figure out what's going on. I'm trying to provide a playbook for parents so that they can anticipate common changes that will occur in their child during this passage, because I think if they can keep their expectations current with what is likely to happen, they are less likely themselves to overreact by surprise and all of a sudden act in ways that can make a hard situation worse. The way to keep up with your kid, I think, is to stay ahead of the growth curve, and the way to do that is to know what the general passage looks like, and that's what I've tried to provide.
It occurs to me that your book could be very helpful to people who are not necessarily parents, but who run program teachers, people who run programs for teens. There's stuff in here that they need.
Yeah, because I think it's amazing to me that most teachers are teaching adolescents. I mean, most of the K-12 system, is teaching adolescents, and yet we don't teach teachers a heck of a lot about adolescents. And I think that's an omission that probably could well be remedied.
Many other issues, smoking, drinking, drugs, that's dealt with in Dr. Picard's book. I have to share a quick story with you before we wrap up, Doctor. Teacher that I once knew, he was teaching junior high school, and he said he looked out the window of his classroom one day, and there were two boys who had snuck out of class into a nearby alley, and they were smoking cigarettes. He said, in plain view, I could look out my classroom window and see them. He said, these were not bad boys. They were just stupid. I mean, what were they thinking? You know what I mean?
Well, what they were thinking was, they were thinking in the now, and they were thinking in the cool, and they were thinking of, adults are too preoccupied to notice and pay us attention about this. So they're also in. Like your child says, they were in denial of the exposure that they were creating for themselves.
Love the cover of your book, Doctor. A couple of dirty sneakers, couple of high tops there. Just left half untied and lying on the bedroom floor, and that's certainly something we see. I love it.
The publisher, obviously is responsible for that, but I love that cover. I thought it was a great cover.
If you're looking for more information on Carl Picard, listeners, his last name is spelled P-I-C-K. H-A-R-D-T, Carl Picard, Ph.D., and the title of his book is Who Stole My Child? Parenting Through the Four Stages of Adolescence. What a delightful conversation, Dr. Picard. Nice to talk with you today. Nice to have you with us.
Hey, I really enjoyed it, man. Take special care.
So long now.
Bye-bye.
More to come on It's Your Turn this Thanksgiving Eve. Should the Bible be taught as literature in our public schools? Our next guest, Chuck Stetson, thinks so. And then also later on the program today, some travel tips from world traveler Lee Abamonte. One of our sponsors on the program today, the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler, as we enter the Thanksgiving holiday weekend. Let's be very thankful for the incredible work done by the volunteers at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul in helping the needy and the less fortunate in our community. So many volunteers at their food bank on Elm Street in the city of Butler. And of course, they operate their wonderful thrift store, the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store in the Greater Butler Mart, where every penny of the proceeds of operating that store go into funding the food bank and their client aid program, too, which helps out needy families with help to pay a doctor bill or gas bill at the end of the month, client aid, all part of the wonderful Society of St. Vincent de Paul, help for the needy and the less fortunate. Be thankful of our situation and maybe a little resolution to help out the folks at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with a donation of food or clothing or or your time. And happy Thanksgiving, and thank you. From the volunteers and the employees at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul in Butler, we stand the tallest when we stoop to help others.
Do you have missing teeth or wear dentures? You may have heard of or are considering dental implants. Hi, this is Dr. Bob Todd of Butler Smiles Dental Care. There are many options available with dental implants, and making the right choice can be confusing. I have been placing dental implants since 2004, both full-size traditional implants and small diameter or mini dental implants. There are indications for both, but more and more we are using mini dental implants in a variety of innovative ways. They are easier to place, causing less discomfort, are less costly, and can frequently be used immediately after placement, allowing you to get back to eating the foods you like or smiling again right away. Traditional implants typically have a 4-month healing time before they can be used. I invite you to call our office at 282-7774 to schedule a free consultation to see if mini dental implants are the right solution for your dental problems, or visit us on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Should the Bible be taught as literature in our schools? That's the question on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. My name is Dave Malarkey. Our guest is Chuck Stetson. He is the CEO of a nonprofit educational organization, Essentials in Education. Chuck Stetson, nice to have you with us here today.
Well, it's great to be with you, Dave.
So why do you feel that it's important to teach the Bible educationally and culturally in our school systems?
The basic thing is, without the Bible, kids can't fully understand the English language, English literature, history, art, music, and culture. For example, in the plays of Shakespeare, there are over 1,200 documented references to the Bible. So if you don't know the Bible, you really don't know Shakespeare.
Hmm. Is there data to back up these statistics?
Yes, there's actually a book that was published, and it's in our, we discuss it in our textbook so that people can actually see it. I can't remember the guy's name. He has now passed away, but I do have the book in my bookshelf, which documents every single one of those. So, you know, the example that I would have is, just because there's a flood doesn't mean it's the flood in Genesis. You have to have Noah. You have to have real references. So these are documented references that are undeniable references. So, and you can even go to, you know, a major book like Moby Dick. You can't get past the first sentence. What's the first sentence? Call me Ishmael. Who's Ishmael? Well, you know, Norton Anthology has a footnote saying he's a wanderer. Do you really expect that that's what Herman Melville expected the reader to know? He expected the reader to know a lot more. And if kids don't know a lot more, they don't know what the metaphor, they're really missing out on what Herman Melville was trying to discuss with them.
Some of our listeners might wonder, Chuck Stenson, whether or not it's legal to teach the Bible as literature in public schools.
Well, I can understand that, but the U.S. Supreme Court has consistently upheld the academic teaching of the Bible. Certainly the religious teaching of the Bible in public schools is not allowed and all, but what we did in the 1990s is that the First Amendment Center did a little brochure, Religion in Public Schools, the First Amendment Guide. We called them up and said, well, what about the Bible? And the guy was in my office 2 weeks later, and 11 months later, we had the Bible in Public Schools, the First Amendment Guide, with the National School Boards Association endorsing it, the American Federation of Teachers, National Education Association, Christian groups, Jewish groups, and secular groups, including the People for the American Way.
You, your nonprofit educational organization, Essentials in Education, has prepared curriculum for use in schools?
Yes. Our textbook, The Bible and Its Influence, has been taught since 2005. 650 high schools in 45 states have purchased it. We've reached 150,000 students, and in the early days, people wanted to test it and see what's going on. They just really like it. And what we've now announcing this week is Wisdom Literature from the Bible, which is a section that we pulled out. And because wisdom literature has been taught for 3,000 years, particularly for character, and it's really hasn't been taught in the U.S. schools for the last 50 years, and otherwise, we need to get it back into the school system, because, among other things, the other announcement that we're doing this week is that we've done we've hired an independent academic researcher who did a meta study, looked at 40 different studies, and the biblical values of love, integrity, compassion, and self-discipline, when they are taught in the schools, kids get better grades. What school wouldn't, what parents wouldn't want to have that to happen?
What's been the reaction from various religious denominations and from various religions, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam?
Well, what we had is in the textbook, we went out to all sorts of various groups, and they all endorsed it. So we've been endorsed by the Christians, the Jews, the secularists, the academics, just about everyone. And there are the Muslims are very interested in seeing this type of stuff taught, because character is really good. Character is really essential. And you know, we just came off these elections. Both sides of the aisle could use a little bit better character, and we need to be teaching character to the next generation. It's really critically important.
We're chatting, listeners, with Chuck Stetson. He is the CEO of the nonprofit educational organization Essentials in Education. So you maintain, Mr. Stetson, that students' comprehension of such things as art and music should have teaching involved involving characters in the Bible and situations.
Well, here's the thing. The advanced placement exam in English literature and composition that you take for getting into when you go into college and want to jump to a more advanced course, they have allusions. 60% of the allusions are biblical. If you want to get a 5, which is the top grade in the advanced placement, you better know the biblical allusions. If you don't, that's fine. You may not get a 5 because of that, because they're going to test you on it. So that's the advanced placement exam. And if you are taking English literature at my alma mater, Yale, you're going to have to take a course in the Bible if you don't know the Bible, because you can't understand English literature without it.
Your curriculum is being taught in many, many schools already, some hundreds of them?
Yep, 650 of them right now, and it's now being picked up. We're operational in 5 different continents. We have a lot of excitement building just all over the globe, because they saw what's been going on in the U.S., and they want to have part of it, too. So it's just really exciting to be, you know, the international standard now.
There are quite a few different versions of the Bible out there. Which one do you use?
We let people select. They can choose any one that they want. It's a translation anyway. And whatever they are comfortable with, that's what they should go with.
There are some states, in fact, I know of some schools even here in Pennsylvania that at one time or another have had a course entitled The Bible in Literature. But your program is relatively new, I take it, the curriculum that you developed?
Yeah, what we did is, I think that they have had the Bible as literature. What we've really done is that we built our textbook to the standards in the Bible in Public Schools, the First Amendment Guide, and they were very clear guidelines that it drew on not only the U.S. Supreme Court rulings, but what people thought was like the national school boards and other people thought would be good things to make sure that the teachers are properly trained and all of that. And so we built to the standards, so it's we're the only book right now, textbook right now, that's First Amendment safe in the U.S. And guess what? The people overseas really like that, because we don't go down any bad trails. We just teach it straight on as it is, the narrative, and we do the connections, and we try to teach what kids need to know so they can decode the world around them.
As we wrap up our conversation, Mr. Stetson, is there a website or somewhere else that listeners can go to learn more about your campaign?
Yes, teachthebibleinschools.org is where we have more information. And really, we invite parents and grandparents to go and talk to the teachers in the schools and say, are you teaching this? Are you teaching the wisdom literature? Is that part of the world literature course? And if it's not, why not? And why don't you put it in? This is a three-week section that we pulled out of the Bible and its influence, and it just needs to be incorporated in every school. There's really no excuse not to.
Chuck Stetson, who instituted the Bible Literacy Project and who co-authored The Bible and Its Influence, has been seen a lot. He's been at the White House, spoken to staff of Congress. He's been on the Today Show, CBS Sunday Morning, and on Fox News as well. Thank you, Mr. Stetson. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, Dave, it was great to be with you, and I really appreciate the time.
Sure. Have a good day.
Thank you.
So long.
Okay. All the best. Bye.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick 2 is 1313. The pick 3 is 823823. The pick 4, 9890. The pick 5, 97093. Wild ball for each of those is 3. The treasure hunt is 1, 14, 20, 29, and 30. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $10,000.
Coming up, listeners, on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR, I'm Dave Malarkey. We're going to chat for a few minutes with a world traveler, and believe me, that is not an exaggeration. We chat with Lee Abamonte, travel expert, writer, and the youngest person to visit every country in the world. Lee, nice to meet you. Nice to have you with us here today.
Dave, thank you. It's always a pleasure.
You've traveled literally to every country in the world? My goodness, how long did this take you, Lee?
Yeah, every single country, and it took me about 13 years, actually.
Wow. And you've also traveled, I understand it, to the North and South Pole, too.
Yeah, I figured if you've been to every country in the world, what's next? So you might as well go to the North and South Pole just to say you were there.
So how did this all come about? I mean, were you doing research for travel articles, or you just started out doing this as kind of a lark and you ended up going everywhere?
A lark is definitely pretty much what it was. It was just a hobby, just something I enjoyed doing. I was doing it for fun. I did a study abroad year in college, and then I kind of got introduced to just basically traveling the world, and I kind of got bit by the bug, and just kind of kept going. And, you know, I might have taken a little further than most people do, but at the same time, it became a passion, and still is to this day.
Well, this is a time of year when some people like to travel, the holiday season. Some stay home, some like to travel. Do you have any ideas, Lee, for unconventional travel this holiday season?
Sure. Well, conventional and unconventional are kind of different for different people. What might be conventional for me might not be for others. So it's basically just kind of pick where you want to go, how you want to get there, and then develop a strategy to make it happen. There's no better way I know of to get free travel than with credit cards. I use the Bank of America Premium Rewards card because it gives me 2 points per dollar spent on all travel and dining purchases and a point and a half for everything else. And if it's connected to your Bank of America Preferred Rewards account, you can earn up to 3.5 points per dollar spent on travel and dining. So that's a great way to amass a lot of points fairly quickly to get future free travel.
I would imagine, given your travel itinerary over the past 13 years, you've used a lot of travel reward points, have you not?
Yes, I have both amassed and used a lot. And as I always say, you can't take them with you, so you might as well use them.
Do most airlines allow you to use bonus points during the holiday, or do they limit that?
It depends on the airline, but I always tell people to shop a little bit early for your flights, especially. Generally, hotels don't have the blackout dates that airlines might because they limit the seats, especially nowadays when all the planes are full. But you can always kind of get around that by planning a little bit ahead of time.
By the way, what's the total number of countries that you've visited, Lee Abamonte?
Well, there's 193 UN member states, so if someone says every country in the world, they're referring to 193. I've actually been to 321 countries plus territories and destinations, so I've been quite a few places.
I don't know whether there's room in a passport for all of those stamps. You must have had to add some extra pages or something.
It looks like the Old Testament.
I can imagine. Now, some countries... most countries, you just need a passport. Some countries, you need a visa to get in, do you not?
Yeah, that's when travel gets a little bit complicated and expensive because it's hard to skirt around the visa issue. A lot of places now you can get a visa on arrival, which is very helpful, but some of the more remote or unconventional places, you have to get them in advance, and they can you can get boggled up in bureaucracy, and then it can take some time, and it can be expensive in places you wouldn't expect to be expensive.
And you have to do it in advance, kind of like buying a Europass or something like that. You got to do all that before you leave the United States.
It's always better to do it beforehand than to deal with it on the road. Trust me, I learned that one the hard way.
Well, tell us a little bit about, while we have a couple of minutes to chat with you here, do you have favorite places around the world where you visited? You must have two or three.
Well, I don't have one place in particular that I would say is my favorite, but I like places that are similar to the U.S. in that they have varied landscapes, beaches, mountains, islands, deserts, that type of thing. I love places like Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Brazil, Argentina, Canada. So places like that, and if they speak English, that's a big help as well.
I was just going to ask you if you're multilingual. Do you speak any languages other than English, Lee?
Yeah, I speak fluent Spanish, actually, and I'm pretty good with languages, but Spanish is the only one I would say I'm fluent in, but I'm pretty good in the Romance languages.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you can speak English and Spanish, you're okay in most parts of the world, although I understand, you might know this, I understand that the international language for airline pilots is either English or French. Is that true?
It's English, actually.
Oh, it's English?
Almost
okay.
Pretty much every pilot on Earth will speak English, and when they're communicating on the headphones, that's what they do. And then pretty much every airline in the world, they'll make the announcements in whatever the local language is and also in English, so because that's the common language that most people will speak.
You are known as the Marco Polo of the 21st century, a reference, of course, to Italian who, as I recall from my history class, developed a trade route to the Far East to get spices and stuff, right?
That's pretty good, yeah. I was actually given that nickname by Arthur Frommer, made famous by Frommer's guidebooks, of course. He called me that on a radio show a couple years ago, and I just thought it was the coolest thing. So, yeah, just kind of run with it.
Listeners, you may have seen Lee Abbamonte. He's been on TV a lot, all the major networks. He's been featured in many, many travel publications and newspapers and so on, and even on the Travel Channel on TV. So are you going away for the holidays, Lee? Where are you going?
I am actually going to Hawaii. That's my kind of my special place here, and I go there every year between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Just to relax on Maui, play some golf, and then right after New Year's, I'm actually heading down under, down to Melbourne, Australia for the Australian Open. I'm a big tennis fan, and that's how I'm ringing in 2019.
Well, that's right, because down under in Australia and New Zealand, they're headed into the peak of summer, right?
Yeah, it's basically the complete opposite of New York City right now.
Is that where you are today, New York City?
Yes, sir.
Tell me, you've traveled all over the world. Do you still use guidebooks? Do you need guidebooks? Do you consult with Rick Steves or people like that?
I know Rick, so if I was going to consult with him, I would just shoot him an email. But I don't use guidebooks. I just get everything online now. But I do have literally hundreds of guidebooks in my apartment that I have used in the past. But I think that they're a little bit bulky nowadays to carry, so I just get everything I can online and then just kind of go from there. I mean, with Google, you can pretty much do anything, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even Rick Steves is recommending that, if you're going to be traveling any distance or, go as light as you can. That's always been his. By the way, he's been a guest on the program before. He's a really nice guy.
He is a really nice guy, and that actually leads me into my biggest piece of advice, bring half the clothes and twice the money.
Well, Lee, I know you're busy today. We appreciate you taking a few minutes to chat with us. Folks, he is the youngest person to visit every country in the world and the North and South Pole, and he's got travel tips. Do you have a website or something that people check in with you, or do you just wait until they see you on TV?
Yeah, my website is leeabbamonte.com, and for more information about the Bank of America Premium Rewards Card, check out bankofamerica.com/getmorerewards.
Nice to talk to you, Lee. Have a good day.
You too, Dave. Thank you.
Sure.
It's never been more important to stay in touch with the events and issues that shape our world. And for more than 25 years, Radio Pennsylvania has been the Commonwealth's source for stories and newsmakers impacting your life.
We're taking precautions to prepare for the worst that this storm can deliver.
And I believe that we need an armed, highly trained security officer in every school.
We should not be using mental illness as a scapegoat for things like mass shootings and violence.
Covering your state capital and all corners of the Commonwealth, Radio PA's team of award-winning journalists is on constant watch as your eyes and ears on the front lines of the major events of our time. Honored for broadcasting and journalistic excellence by
the Associated Press, the Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasters, the National Association of State Radio Networks, the National Headliner Awards, and many others.
Eight-time winner of the Joe Snyder Award for Outstanding News Service.